Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we welcome back Stacey Lynn, investigative journalist, to focus in on the individuals who retaliated against her and their conflicts of interest related to Agenda 21 in ICLEI. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's one. Self-esteem fad harms student achievement. Teaching self-esteem is misguided. This is by Hans Bader. Self-control, not self-esteem, leads to academic success, researchers have concluded. Indeed, teaching self-esteem actually reduces student achievement and undermines the work ethic of some students. Quote, in one study, university students who earned C, D, and F grades received encouragement aimed at boosting their self-worth. They did worse than students with similar grades whose self-esteem had been left alone. An intervention that encourages students to feel good about themselves regardless of work may remove the reason to work hard. Notes a Florida State professor who studied the topic for years. Quote, self-control is much more powerful and well-supported as a cause of personal success. Last January, the Washington Post ran a news story about the failure of self-esteem to improve educational achievement due to the self-esteem fad. American students' self-esteem outstripped their achievement, which fell compared to their international peers. U.S. eighth graders did worse in math than their peers in countries such as Singapore and South Korea, but felt better about themselves and their ability in math. Quote, we used to think we could hand children self-esteem on a platter, Stanford University psychologist Carol Dweck said. Well, that has backfired, she says. Yet for decades, the prevailing wisdom in education was that high self-esteem would lead to high achievement. Here's another related story. We are raising a generation of deluded narcissists. This is by Dr. Keith Ablow. A new analysis of the American Freshman Survey, which has accumulated data for the past 47 years from 9 million young adults, reveals that college students are more likely than ever to call themselves gifted and driven to succeed, even though their test scores and time spent studying are decreasing. Psychologist Jean Twenge, the lead author of the analysis, is also the author of a study showing that the tendency toward narcissism in students is up 30% in the last 30 years. The data is not unexpected. I've been writing a great deal over the past few years about the toxic psychological impact of media and technology on children, adolescents, and young adults, especially as it regards turning them into faux celebrities, the equivalent of lead actors in their own fictionalized life stories. On Facebook, young people can fool themselves into thinking they have hundreds or thousands of friends. They can delete unflattering comments. They can block anyone who disagrees with them or poke holes in their inflated self-esteem. They can choose to show the world only flattering, sexy, or funny photographs of themselves. Dozens of albums full. They can speak in pithy, short posts and publicly connect to movie stars and professional athletes and musicians they, quote, like. We must beware of the toxic psychological impact of media and technology on children, adolescents, and young adults, especially as it regards turning them into faux celebrities, the equivalent of lead actors in their own fictionalized life stories. Using Twitter, young people can pretend they are worth, quote, following, as though they have real-life fans, when all that is really happening in the mutual fanning of false love and false fame. Using computer games, our sons and daughters can pretend they are Olympians, Formula One drivers, rock stars, or sharpshooters. As if to keep up with the unreality of media and technology, in a dizzying, self-aggrandizing hype, town sports leagues across the country hand out ribbons and trophies to losing teams, schools inflate grades, energy drinks in giant, colorful cans take over the soft drink market, and psychiatrists hand out Adderall like candy. All the while, these adolescents, teens, and young adults are watching a Congress that can't control its manic, euphoric, narcissistic spending, a president that can't see his way through the applauding, genuine, and extraordinary achievements in business, a society that blames mass killings on guns, not the psychotic people who wield them, and, here's no surprise, a stock market that keeps rising and falling like a roller coaster as bubbles inflate and then inevitably burst. That's really the unavoidable end, by the way. False pride can never be sustained. The bubble of narcissism is always at risk of bursting. That's why young people are higher on drugs than ever, drunker than ever, smoking more, tattooed more, pierced more. The article titled, "We Are Raising a Generation of Deluded Narcissists." We continue our discussion with investigative journalist Stacey Lynn and her story in opposing and revealing the ICLEI agenda in her community, the subsequent retaliation, and we'll also focus a bit on the conflict of interest of those involved in the retaliation. As many listeners may know, Stacey Lynn has been alerting her community in Fort Collins, Colorado, about ICLEI, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, for the past 4 years. And revealing how large amounts of taxpayer money is being spent on the ICLEI programs annually. And she saved many local jobs and private businesses by bringing awareness to these policies. She was then retaliated against. Her son's biological father was awarded custody of their 9-year-old son through court proceedings wrought with legal breaches. Today, we look at those involved in the retaliation and their ties to UN Agenda 21, ICLEI, and related subsidized green energy businesses. Stacey Lynn, welcome back to In Other News.
Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Well, your story is absolutely riveting and extremely important to understand fully. So many parts to it. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a background of your story?
Yes, I am an investigative journalist. I began investigating the city of Fort Collins in Larimer County, Colorado, about 5 years ago because the local government was attempting to eliminate locally owned small businesses. I do support those businesses as much as I can. I value their contribution to our community. And I was curious about why the city was attacking these business owners. That led me to discover an organization called the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives. They are an arm of the United Nations Environmental Program called Agenda 21. That International Council is also known as ICLEI, and they are in hundreds of communities in the United States. They implement Agenda 21 at the local level, many times without the local elected officials' knowledge about how they're operating or what their ultimate goals are. So I became involved politically for the first time in my life. That turned out to hurt me in the end. I was the target of retaliation through the judicial system and because of my political activism. So we had a perfect storm of retaliation from two very powerful entities in Larimer County. My son is 9 years old. His name is Jaden. His biological father had been absent for most of his life on his own will. He was not forced out. He chose to disappear from our lives. He returned approximately 2 years ago to demand full custody of my son, and that was coincidentally after a major victory that we had defeating an ICLEI program. We have successfully protected 15 small business owners. Hundreds of jobs in Colorado have been saved because of our efforts, and I had a feeling at the time that I was going to suffer some kind of consequences because of that, and it appears they have successfully used my child as a political weapon to retaliate against me.
So from here, what was also uncovered in the retaliation is the people involved in the retaliation have ties to UN Agenda 21, ICLEI, and other subsidized green businesses. Where do you want to start here that is most prominent to you?
Well, I think we should start with the judge who was assigned to my case. Her name is Judge Julie Kuntz Field. She was appointed by our then-governor, Bill Ritter. And he's significant because Bill Ritter also appointed our chief judge, Stephen Schepansky, and those two people will become key as Jaden's case progressed over the past 2 years. But interestingly, Julie Kuntz Field has direct ties to Patricia Stryker. She is the billionaire heiress of the Stryker Biomedical Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Stryker suffered some adverse effects of my political activism because she wanted to dedicate some parking spaces in front of her new building in downtown Fort Collins, restrict them to only people who could afford to drive certain vehicles. That, in turn, hurt the local business owners. We did have those spaces removed so that they're accessible to all people now. So Patricia Stryker is a key. Julie Coons Fields and Patricia Stryker have had a connection for nearly 12 years when Julie Fields' law firm represented, were involved in a case that had to do with Pat Stryker and white-collar crime.
Oh, very interesting. So
yes.
They've been in connection, they've had connections for the past 12 years.
Yes, and they're still listed on the Colorado State website as having the same business address. So Julie Coons Field is listed as an occupant in Patricia Stryker's office suite in downtown Fort Collins.
All right, just so it's clear, the same judge that is involved in the custody case of your child has connections to the billionaire heiress who you opposed a particular policy of.
That's correct. And it's also important to note that Julie Coons Field is a special consultant to the International Monetary Fund. To have a judge who has that level of experience and connections hearing a custody case is also suspicious on its face.
Well, the IMF, why, with her connections to, she was an advisor, I believe, right, to the IMF?
Yes.
Why is that important here? For listeners who may not understand the wider picture of this.
Well, it's important because the International Monetary Fund and the United Nations go hand in hand.
Okay.
I've attempted to recuse this judge on four different occasions. Each time a new conflict of interest is discovered, I file new motions to recuse Julie Coons Field based on those legitimate and hard evidence showing that she has a conflict of interest with me directly. And every time she denies it, but she never denies her conflicts of interest. She always tries to divert the issue into something else. So Julie Coons Field is claiming that the United Nations connections to Fort Collins and Agenda 21 is a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy, but it's not a theory, and there's a critical difference in those two terms.
She has responded to you stating that she has a conflict of interest.
That's correct. Okay. She has, on four occasions, denied any conflicts of interest, and her basis for not recusing herself is always twisted around saying that I am a conspiracy theorist, and she does not address the specific names, specific people, where we have direct conflicts of interest.
I got you.
The most interesting thing happened yesterday with her refusing to recuse herself. Again, she ignored all of the conflicts of interest, and we'll get into more of those in detail in a minute. But when she denied the recusal yesterday, she stated that her reason for denial was that I call myself a constitutionalist. This is key to my entire case because the officials in Larimer County have labeled me as a constitutionalist and even more dangerous as a sovereign citizen. And they're doing that because the Department of Justice has declared that people who call themselves sovereign citizens are domestic terrorists.
Correct. Have you declared yourself sovereign?
I have never declared myself sovereign citizen.
Very interesting.
I'm very specific about that because they're using those terms to put me in a dangerous position and to try to discredit me. But I want to be clear, I think we should define the term constitutionalist since it is being used against me so severely. And a constitutionalist is simply somebody who believes that all human beings, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, and socioeconomic status, have rights that cannot be taken from them without their consent and without due process of law. And whether you believe in a deity or not, your rights are your natural property. They cannot be taken from you without your consent. And so to believe in the Constitution and to believe that you are a constitutionalist is something that most people believe is just a natural thing. We all have rights. We all have the same rights, regardless of who you are. That is what I believe. So they're using that against me.
Hmm.
And it's ironic because the sheriff in Larimer County, Justin Smith, is on record stating the exact same thing, that we should all be constitutionalists, because that is the only way that justice is served, is if we all have the same rights and we're all treated the same.
So he's contradicted himself?
He has.
Okay. All right. So you've identified Judge Field's conflict of interest. with Patricia Stryker.
Yes.
Now, what about the biological father?
Well, the interesting thing with the conflicts of interest at a political level with Julie Kunz-Field, we need to explore a little bit more.
Sure.
Patricia Stryker funds a large amount of programs in the city of Fort Collins. She donates money all the time to different organizations. That's not a bad thing, and I'm not focusing on that. However, the people she donates to related to Julie Kunz-Field and myself are key. So there is a domestic violence battered woman shelter called Crossroads Safe House in Fort Collins. Patricia Stryker donates large thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to this organization so that they can operate. The director of that Crossroads Safe House is Vicki Lutz. And Vicki Lutz is key because she came out in support of a councilwoman that I had tried to recall related to her Agenda 21 and ICLEI support and her elimination of these small businesses. So Patricia Stryker is funding a woman who came out publicly in the newspaper to support this councilwoman against me. It gets even deeper. So the opposing attorney during this child custody case called as a witness the councilwoman that I had tried to recall. Even though there was no tie between the councilwoman and me and my son or the custody case, the connections between the judge and Vicki Lutz, the Crossroads director, and the councilwoman is direct, and here's how.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Kunz-Field sits on the board of Crossroads Safe House. So we have a direct tie between another political opponent and myself. For a councilwoman to be subpoenaed as a witness in a child custody case where she has no knowledge about the custody case shows a direct tie that this is a political retaliation mm-hmm. and attempts to discredit my work and who I am.
That's interesting. So you have the safe house. The biological father of your son has been involved with domestic violence issues.
That's correct. He has a documented, decade-long documented history of domestic violence and child abuse. The evidence is on record at the sheriff's office in Larimer County and also the police department in Fort Collins. I had a very difficult time because of my political activities getting any assistance in that area as far as protection for my son and I. So it's been a challenge. I have two different sections that are retaliating against me. One is the political activities I was involved in saving these private businesses, mm-hmm. and then we have the whole judicial system that became involved when I was drug into the system.
Is there anything more with Stryker and Fields that you want to go into in terms of conflict of interest?
Yes. Interestingly, Pat Stryker, remember Bill Ritter was the governor at the time when he appointed Julie Kunz-Field the same month where my custody case was entered into the court system. So Bill Ritter was the governor at the time he appointed the judge. Bill Ritter ended up being hired at Colorado State University in a position having to do with sustainability. And again, sustainability is not a bad thing if it's being used appropriately and scientifically founded. Patricia Stryker is funding Bill Ritter's, the majority of Bill Ritter's salary at Colorado State University. So now we have another direct conflict of interest between Julie Kunz-Field, Bill Ritter, and Pat Stryker.
Somewhere in here, I read there is a solar power company created through taxpayer money and then went bankrupt really quickly. Where does that fit in?
I believe that was one of Patricia Stryker's companies. That has been investigated deeply by another organization in Colorado. I haven't delved into the solar company as much as I have the other political conflicts of interest I have. However, one of the main things I did as an investigative journalist was to pursue the truth in these sustainability programs and these green initiatives. I wanted to know exactly how much they were protecting the planet and the people who live on the planet versus how much it was costing people. And when you compare those many of those programs to the truth about what's happening with them, it turns out that they're benefiting very wealthy people who have a lot of power, and those programs end up hurting the majority of the population, but especially it damages low-income and disadvantaged populations.
You mentioned that in the last interview, how ICLEI programs do that. But with this, what you just explained specifically, can you go into a little more detail so listeners get an idea of what's really going on here?
Well, let's take what I was passionate most about was protecting these locally owned businesses that were private trash companies. And here's why it matters. Waste management is a major funder for the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, which is the Local Agenda 21. So waste management is already a huge corporation that was interested in taking control of these small businesses. When a small business hires 50 employees at the local level, a lot of times those small businesses are able to hire people who would have a difficult time getting a job with a major corporation. And I know this from my personal experience researching these companies. A lot of the people who work for trash companies are some of the hardest working, most unbelievable, dedicated people. Some of them have records with law, criminal records, criminal backgrounds, but they still want, once they've done their time, they want to get out and be productive members of society.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they cannot get hired by waste management. So if we lose those jobs, those local jobs, the community loses, because now those people are having a hard time finding a job. They can't support their family. They end up using more government services, which cost the taxpayers more money. So the value of locally owned businesses is priceless. I care about those people who want to work and support their families and not use government services. I care about locally owned businesses. So if you consider the fact that waste management wants to eliminate all of that value that a locally owned business provides to the community, the ripple effects of that damage is astronomical. So that is why these green programs are so critical to take a look at, to see specifically who they're helping and who they're hurting.
Okay. Do you want to go into the chart that you had sent me regarding the sheriff, the district attorney, both of them, and the chief judge?
Yes, this is a critical piece, and it's such a complicated case, and it's difficult to see if you don't have the charts in front of you. But if you can imagine that a chart with four sections to it, we have the sheriff, the district attorney, the chief judge, and our district attorney-elect. That's four parts of the chart.
Mm-hmm.
The 8th Judicial District in Larimer County is dominated by one major political party, and that means there's no balance of power and no checks and balances for the people who are forced into the system under their control.
Mm.
This becomes key because the two major political parties that operate in the United States are doing so much damage to individual rights and our health as a nation that it's critical that people get involved locally and understand why this matters to their families.
All right, so that's the 8th Judicial District in Larimer County, Fort Collins, Colorado, is dominated by one major political party.
Yes, and that causes so many problems because it's a natural human tendency to want to protect those groups that you belong to. So if your group is being exposed for fraud and corruption, then the reaction is to surround those people, even though they're breaking the law, so that you're not exposed as well.
Okay, let's take them one by one. Where do you want to start?
Well, I'd like to do a quick review so that people understand why I'm being retaliated against judicially as well as politically. I had to investigate the system that my son and I were being dragged into, so I started asking questions. And again, just with the political retaliation, the answers I was getting made no sense. The biggest problem was it was difficult for me to understand that a magistrate could just walk in to my life and my son's life and tell us what we were going to do for the rest of our life. The jurisdiction issue for me was a huge question. I had to find out how was it possible if my son and I were thriving and healthy and never involved with the law enforcement system or judicial system, how could it be that a complete stranger could tear my son's life apart?
On what grounds can they do that?
Well, this is where the magistrates become a huge part of the system as far as interrupting families and destroying families that are healthy and whole.
Mm-hmm.
So the way they do that is by starting one parent or the other starts a claim, an action against the other parent, and then you're entered into the system. that still wasn't making sense to me based on my knowledge of the Constitution and just based on my specific case. My son's father and I were never married. He had been absent for most of my son's life and came out of the blue and demanded full custody of my child. That didn't make sense to me. And I do want to say I'm not an attorney. Anything I say on this show or at any other time is not to be construed as legal advice. However, everything I say is true and can be proven with verifiable evidence. So I want people to understand I am not giving legal advice here.
Okay, so that's a very interesting point that you brought up, that one parent is set against another and then brings that into the courts and you're entered into the system. And from there, the allegations, whether they're true or not, are presented anyway and you're entered into the system.
That's right. And it was interesting. There never have been any allegations made against me in any manner. There's been no charges, insinuations, or any accusations against me as a mom.
So it was the biological father saying, I want full custody, and there's no reason for it?
That's correct. The only thing he stated as far as his reasoning was that he was going to teach me some lessons using the court system. So there were no accusations against my fitness as a mother or as my skills as a parent.
Are you completely alone, or do you have support with anyone in the community, any law enforcement that sees what's going on and knows that this is wrong and they support you?
Yes, there is a huge support network in the state of Colorado and beyond for me and my son. There are law enforcement officers who have tried for the past more than 18 months to assist us and to get the officials in Jaden's case to act. However, they keep being met with resistance. So there are good law enforcement officers and a lot of people supporting us, and I'm grateful for that and want to thank everybody who has not given up and who are still trying to help. The problem is that Julie Coons Field, the judge who took my son, has told law enforcement officers to stand down and that she will be handling all of the investigations in this case. And, of course, a judge doesn't investigate and she's not law enforcement, so we're having a difficult time there. And the reason the judge is doing that is for two reasons. First of all, she doesn't want her crimes to become known. She's trying desperately to hold on to Jaden's case so that what she's doing to us does not become public knowledge. And if she does recuse herself, which she's supposed to do legally and lawfully, then her conflicts of interest become exposed, and that would also convict her of her own guilt.
However, these conflicts of interest have been exposed in a number of articles already, so people are now looking and examining this. Are you getting any feedback?
Yes. Most of the feedback that we're getting is outrage. The conflicts of interest are public. They're proven. The paper trail is definite. This is not some fabricated theory that these people are exposing. We have independent investigators throughout the United States researching these people and their connections. They are real. They are real conflicts of interest directly with me. And so she continues to keep control of Jaden's case just out of her own self-preservation.
Stacy Lynn, what is it that you would need right now from a listenership? We're going to open the phone lines in a little bit, but what is it that listeners can do to maybe help you?
Well, the most critical thing that would help is if we can get an attorney who would represent me in these lawsuits against the officials. So I am putting out a national plea for an attorney who will help with the lawsuits, civil rights violations, and the other crimes that judges and law enforcement are committing against me and my son. That's a very difficult request, and I understand why that's so hard for attorneys to want to get involved in a lawsuit like that. It's very dangerous. I would also suggest that people who are listening learn about the differences between magistrates and judges, and this is a national problem. The magistrates are controlling family court systems, and many, many times the children are being horribly damaged by these magistrates' decisions. There is a difference between magistrates and judges. The difference is critical. And so I would like people to learn about those differences for their own protection for themselves and their family.
Investigative journalist Stacy Lynn, there's not enough time to even get near the full understanding of the story, but we're getting glimpses of it. It's very, very involved. And listeners, if you want the full story, you can look online. Is there anywhere you suggest, Stacy, to get the full story?
I would suggest, first of all, if they Google Stacy Lynn arrest video on YouTube, that is an excellent introduction into what happened to me illegally and unlawfully by law enforcement and a judge in Larimer County. I was arrested without a valid warrant. I was tracked for 5 months without a warrant on the GPS device that they had hidden on my vehicle.
Right.
So start with YouTube, and then there is a website on Dave Hodges' show called The Common Sense Show, and it has a very lengthy explanation of what they've done to my son and myself.
Right. Another great show. Listeners, we're going to open up the lines after this break. If you have a comment or question for investigative journalist Stacy Lynn, who we've had on the show last week and we have her on now to talk with you, you have questions or comments, please call us at 917-580-6020. And we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Our guest, returning guest, is investigative journalist Stacy Lynn, who went against some of the policies, ICLEI policies and Agenda 21 policies in her community in Colorado and was retaliated against. We have her back on to interact with the listeners. Stacy, I just want to thank you for being back with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Stacy, can you tell listeners about recent court documents that you have to help get your son back?
Yes, I have recently filed a de novo void judgment. A void judgment is a legal and lawful process where if you have a judgment or an order entered against you that was decided unlawfully and illegally, then the entire judgment is void. And the reason for that is if your constitutional rights are not protected when a judge is hearing your case, then if they even violate one of your rights, the entire order is void. Because if you're not following due process of law, then there's no way that you can get a fair hearing. So I have filed that. This is the second void judgment I have filed. The judge, Julie Coons Field, illegally denied the first void judgment, and she did that during a secret hearing on September 13th. She panicked because she realized that the void judgment I was reading into the court record was valid, and so she cleared the courtroom, actually cleared the entire Justice Center of the people who were associated with my case, and then proceeded to hold a secret hearing after I had been told to leave the building. She lied about the Larimer County Sheriff's Office involvement in that by saying that I had been contacted and was refusing to return to the hearing, when in fact I was not even in the area. They told us to leave. We were not asked to come back. And I was in the neighboring county sheriff's office delivering and filing the void judgment to them because they have been staying informed and involved in Jaden's case.
Amazing.
So from that secret hearing that she held on September 13th, that basically prevented me from seeing my son at all. So she had an illegal hearing that has further stripped me of my child.
And listeners, we went over in detail some of the elements of Stacey Lynn's story last week, if you want to listen to that show. But we got a couple calls on the line. We're going to go to the first one. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good evening. Great show. I didn't listen to last week's show and this week's show. Basically, the government is going after you for trying to do what again?
The main thing that there are two different tracks that I'm being retaliated against. The first one is my political activities for exposing issues with Agenda 21 in ICLEI and the local government, because the local government was trying to eliminate locally owned businesses. That's how I first got involved. I inadvertently stepped on some pretty powerful toes. The second thing that happened was once I was pulled into the judicial system, I began investigating what was happening there as I was trying to save my son and myself from abuse. And I discovered how the system was operating inside the judicial system. So we have two different entities that are coming after me.
Okay, and what is Agenda 21, if you could recap that quickly?
Agenda 21 is a environmental program connected to the United Nations, and if you go on the United Nations website, you can actually click on Agenda 21, and they have a massive document there that outlines all of the policies and plans and goals of Agenda 21.
Right, which is basically what everybody's predicting about this new world order, that the UN is going to take the one world government, and that's how. But what are some of their goals? Does this have to do with the HAARP program or the chemtrails? What are some of the major things about Agenda 21?
The interesting thing you have to watch for when you're reading the Agenda 21 document itself is the programs, most of them sound really good and beneficial to the planet and to the people. One of their main things that they focus on is developing communities where individual private vehicles are not necessary or not even able to use those small communities. So they want to encourage people to walk or ride their bicycles instead of driving their own cars. Mass public transportation is one of their main goals, to get people out of their individual cars. The reason they say they want to do that is so that we can reduce our CO2 levels. And carbon dioxide levels in our atmosphere are so minuscule it's difficult to comprehend how small it is. Those are some of the things they're focusing on, but if you look at what it does, what those policies do to most of the people, it increases their fuel costs, it increases their water and electricity rates. In Fort Collins, we've had our rates triple in the past year and a half because of these ICLEI-mandated programs and policies. So it ends up hurting most of the people on the planet.
Right, when the president has his limousine and Air Force One globetrotting all over the planet, creating massive amounts of pollution, the Al Gore situation where he is touting. I had just seen this again, this movie that he did, and he's telling everybody, you know, try to do this. And meanwhile, this guy has some of the most luxurious lifestyles of private jets. And it's amazing how the politicians and people in power want to control other people, but they themselves are the biggest polluters on the whole planet. I mean, even the president's, his jet fuel has to be enormous. He's the most traveled president. And when he travels, that has to be an entourage. His limousine has to be traveled. I mean, that must be enormous, yet the average person shouldn't be in their car. They should use mass transportation. It goes to the hypocrisy of our society with people like Al Gore, or even the president. I really respect you for what you're doing, and this is a very sad thing. We don't really have a government by the people. It's by corporations. We are turning into fascist, totalitarian state, and it's scary that the one world government is coming. And do they have the judicial? Is everything in their back pocket? And this is why people want to have guns. This is why people want to have protection, because they don't trust the government. They don't believe that the government is really there to protect them. It's almost like we're going into this new world order.
Strong points, caller. You're right. But, specifically for Stacey Lynn's case, we can't let this fade from the public attention right now. It's really critical to expose the details in Stacey Lynn's case specifically, because the people who are going against her, she is showing that there is all this hypocrisy related to it and the conflicts of interest. I feel that if people rally around her in support and start to expose this in the main, in the media, alternative media, mainstream media, more and more and more, you'll start to make a difference here, and they could back down.
Right. Could you take this to the Supreme Court? I mean, is this Supreme Court worthy?
It actually is a Supreme Court worthy case because of all of the civil rights, constitutional and natural rights violations. But the judge has even violated her own statutes, rules, and procedures in this case. Mr. Brady is correct when he says that if we can focus on these details, then we can apply, once Jaden is safe, we can apply what I have learned and what I understand of this system to the entire United States. We truly can transform the judicial system and the political system so that the people are protected. And I'm talking about the majority of the people who don't have millions and billions of dollars to get around and live their lives. It's the people, most of the people, who are being so negatively affected by this. And it's not just Agenda 21 and ICLEI. It's the judicial system working in concert with these very wealthy and powerful people.
Of course, you were correct in saying that if this is allowed to happen and continue, we're not safe. You're right. But one thing that she exposed here, and this is just like the activism with the boycott, divest, sanction, when you start to expose the money trail as Stacey Lynn had done, that's when people involved here get very worried and try to shut things down very quickly. And what
right.
she exposed was how these ICLEI programs drain taxpayer money. If people actually knew where the taxpayer money was going, and they could actually see it in a pie chart, that's what Stacey was showing people. They didn't like that.
Well, of course not. And where did this $17 trillion in debt that we could probably never repay? Again, though, this is like a fascist state. When this has happened in the Nazi era. Jewish people couldn't go to any courts. There was no insurance companies that would reimburse them for whatever damage. This is a scary situation. Are we moving into this fascist, totalitarian state where this judicial system is in the back pocket of corporations? I mean, the merging of corporate power and the state is what fascism is, that there'll be no rights of...
you're right, caller.
I mean, we say we have freedom of speech. That's, we don't even have a democracy anymore.
You're right on, caller, about that. And yes, it's descending into fascism, but there is a constant conflict between people rising up and fighting back. They lose, they fight back, they lose, they fight back. So it's a constant struggle. And the fascism is starting to steamroll. But in cases
right.
like this is where people have to stand up and support individuals who had stood up for them. She saved these jobs. She saved, 300 jobs?
Yes, approximately. We never did a total count because after the last major success of saving those 13 private businesses, I was immediately in the middle of this custody case. So I never did a total count on the jobs in Jefferson County, and I would like to do that at some point.
Caller, thank you so much for
your
comments.
Last point, if we could, that is such a utopian dream, if we could unite all of the people to really take back the government, if we could do that, the scary thing is we have so many ways of distract. There's so many corporations that are trying to poison us, food, water, the media that we have. Everybody's more interested in football, the distractions, all the entertainment, the Golden Globes, all these wonderful things that we could just, you know, fantasize about. And unfortunately, the bigger picture is there an alien reptilian force that is in control of our government and in control of our corporations to eventually take over the world? I know that's a big question. We talked about this. You do a great show. I'll let other callers talk about, but it seems like this is a very scary thing. And is there a bigger agenda where there's really super intelligent people giving us all this technology, but in a way it's really just going to enslave the human population?
Thank you, Carl.
Very much. Good luck and a great show. I'll let other people talk. And
all right,
you
caller.
Can comment on that.
Okay, yeah. That point that you raised in the context of this issue, I don't think it's too isolating to go there. If we just focus on step by step here in Stacey Lynn's situation, we could raise consciousness, and I believe that's the most important thing to do. That's when dominoes start to fall. The stronghold is loosened a little bit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what's happening in this case, even this week, we are starting to see some of the officials turn on each other because their stories aren't matching. We're talking about how their stories don't add up on shows just like yours. And the more that we can talk about this specific case, the more people can put together in their own communities what's happening, and then they can take action locally. And I have always focused on, look what's happening in your own neighborhood and in your own town and your own city, and that's where you can be most effective. If you focus on the huge federal issues, you don't have a lot of ability to impact those. But if you look at your own city council, start following the money, start seeing who's benefiting in the private corporations, then you can be effective. And we actually have great ways to help people do that. And one of the reasons I think that they involved me in the judicial system was so that they would stop me from being so effective in helping other communities learn how to get involved and to reverse what was happening.
You bet, Stacey. We got another call. You want to take that call?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. I'm calling from Austin in New York, and I like what the girl is doing, Stacey or Daisy. My name is Gloria. I work as a teacher assistant in Austin in New York, and I have an almost similar situation. I spoke up, against racism at the school where I was working as a teacher assistant, and I was fired, only a few months after I did speak up in behalf of the Latinos and the minorities who were being treated with racist statements. The teacher assistants, I find out that we have no representation with unions. The unions only get the money out of us. I was fired. I could never, sue them. I was discouraged, and I was threatening that I will be called the police on me when I lost my job. And I find out that many teacher assistants lost their jobs just before we got a chance to retire with 10 years, of work.
Yeah, and I want to comment on that right away. First, I want to say thank you for standing up and for calling racism out when you see it. It is unbelievable that we are in 2013 and we're still dealing with these horrifying issues with racism. I know what you're saying is true, and here's one example of how I know that. When I started investigating the judicial system in Larimer County, Colorado, I began recording and photographing and just documenting everything that was happening. I was sitting on a bench outside a courtroom, and there was a non-English-speaking family sitting next to me. They were about ready to go into a situation with two attorneys who did not speak their language. I realized what was going to happen to these non-English speakers, and I started running up and down the halls in the courtroom or in the courthouse looking for somebody who spoke their language. I found somebody, thankfully, an older man in his 80s, who stood up and went into the meeting with these attorneys and this family and help this family not get taken advantage of. So it really is horrifying to watch and see it with your own eyes what is happening to non-English-speaking families and minority groups and those disadvantaged populations. That's why they are so interested in targeting people who stand up. They don't want their system to be exposed.
For the future, you know, I would like somebody, you know, to try to do a research in Austin, in New York, the school systems at AMD, AM Dora Middle School is going on, you know, people even fighting inside, you know, the employees because there's so much racism. They fight even with knives against each other. The children are being raped. The children are being smoking, you know, drugs, and they know it, and they cover up one story after another. It is a scandal, right? You know, in the journal news I got, you know, a couple months ago, I think it was in May, one girl was forced to be raped in the bathroom, and they threatening the parents the same as they did to me, and they couldn't not even have a lawsuit because they shut up the parents by threatening, you know, them and making them scared, and they just kill the case. And this is small community, something that I wanted somebody to find out and study, because somebody maybe is killing there. I find out that small towns as my town, as in New York, or Tarrytown, or Peekskill, or Croton, we do not have a lawyer who represents us. So we go underrepresented, and the system is stealing millions of dollars out of us. Like myself, they stole all my retirement money. Thank you.
Gloria, thank you very much. Maybe contacting the National Lawyers Guild, that would be one of the first steps, and see what happens from there.
I just want to say that her story is heartbreaking. I hear stories like this all the time, and just because of who I am naturally, of course, I want to jump right in there and help her. So it breaks my heart. There are so many stories like this, but if we can focus on exposing the facts and showing how the system is working against all of these individual cases, then we have a chance to transform the system. And I believe I have enough evidence and enough understanding of how they're doing all of these things to the innocent people. We can make a difference, and I am dedicated to making a difference for everybody.
Stacey, great attitude. If you have a comment or question for our guest, investigative journalist Stacey Lynn, please call us at 917-580-6020. That's 917-580-6020. We have another call on the line. Hi, caller, go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to say that this is very, this story is very traumatic. Must give you a lot of heartache, huh?
My son, I have not seen him since October 30th. I have not spoken to him since December 28th.
It's a heartache, though.
It is breaking my heart. I know my son is traumatized beyond description, and that is why I am trying to get as much publicity as I can so that I can save him.
Listen, I want to say this. You should set up some kind of a fund. Maybe the contributors can help you out financially.
Tom, that's a good point. Let me give that benefit fund address out. It's called The Benefit of Stacey Lynn. And her last name is spelled Lynne. The Benefit of Stacey Lynn, P.O. Box 1211. That's P.O. Box 1211, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. That's Arvada, A-R-V-A-D-A, Colorado, 80001. That's one way that listeners can help Stacey Lynn begin to get her son back.
And I do want to say thank you for asking the question, and Mr. Brady, thank you for giving that information out. I don't have any access to that fund. It has been established by a group of people who are unrelentless in helping Jade and I, and so I don't have access to the money. They distribute the funds for my legal expenses as it is needed, so thank you so much.
You betcha. We have another call. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Hi, I'm from Suffolk County, and I had a case in the family courts here. It's nothing as extreme as the situation that Stacey's in, but an injustice nonetheless. It was just something as simple as what time I was supposed to bring my daughter back, and I was fighting to keep it at 8 o'clock, and my daughter's mother wanted it sooner. And you were talking about an injustice of people that don't speak English, but, I mean, I speak English, and when it went to trial, I represented myself, and the judge kept telling me, no, you might not like the outcome, but over and over and over, and I said, no, I want to be heard. And when all was said and done, it turns out that he had forgot to really give me the shaft and didn't change the time that I needed to bring my daughter home. And when the daughter's mother's lawyer heard this, he started speaking out and the judge was trying to stifle him, but he wouldn't be stifled. And finally, he made the judge realize that he didn't take any time away from me. And then when I went to speak up about it, the bailiff immediately came over to me, and the court officers immediately came to me and silenced me. And then he, after the trial was over and that he was making his decision, he then stopped and was able to bring more witnesses in and then change his decision after that. And I just, there was nothing like, if I speak English and they're willing to do that to me, I mean, what can anyone really do?
Well, I have one quick question. Were you in front of a magistrate or a judge?
No, it was a judge.
Okay, because if you, this is one critical thing that people can do to help themselves, and that is to learn the difference between a magistrate and a judge, because many of these family cases are handled by magistrates.
I know the difference, and the magistrate can't put you in jail, and she or he just makes a decision, I mean, a suggestion to the judge, and then the judge decides whether or not. I was in front of a judge, and it wasn't going to be a matter of me going to jail. It was just going to be a matter of an original court order being changed, and I didn't want to change, and she did. And then when the judge realized that he didn't change it, he then recalled witnesses and then made a new decision based on what he realized was him not screwing me.
Caller.
So am I getting my point across? I don't know if I'm explaining this.
I think you are in a general sense, but we're actually running out of time, and I appreciate your call here and comment.
Well, I just am so grateful for the support and for everyone who is traumatized along with me. There are countless people who are contacting us, you know, just horrified. They cannot believe what has happened. My son was taken illegally. I was arrested illegally. The judge never served me the order, which set up my illegal arrest. The judge, Julie Coonsfield, ambushed me, my son, and the Larimer County Sheriff's Office. I'm grateful for the time, and I love to help people understand the big picture and how they can apply it to their own lives to protect their families.
Absolutely, and it certainly shows, Stacey, you've been saving jobs and businesses in your community and exposing the wasted taxpayer money and the abomination of Agenda 21 in ICLEI gone wrong. Thank you so much for being back on the show, and we'll, you know, please send me updates, and we'd like to have you back on the show with any further developments.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for us in other news. It's good to be back on the show live. We'll be back on, not next week, but the following week, Monday, 10 p.m.
Would you look at the time? It's 11 p.m. here at listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 on the FM dial, WBAI.org. On the World Wide Web, it's time now for Health Action, which will be followed by a rebroadcast of Monday's news from the WBAI news team. Please stay tuned. Yes, as Jeff asks, what the hell's that? And I really don't know. Stand by 1 second. We will be bringing you Health Action in just one moment. Please stand by.